the Audio Nowcast, sponsored by Apex and Westwave Audio. Now from the Nowcast Network Studios, here's Mike.
Hey, welcome to the Audio Nowcast. My name is Mike Rodriguez, and before we get going, let me take a breath.
The arm was just kicked.
This is going to be an interesting show, so let's just kind of hang on and see where we go. But before we do that, let me introduce the guys over here on my right. We have Diego Stucco.
Hey, Mike! Hey.
Next to him, we've got Scott Gershon.
Yeah.
Next to him, we've got Brandon Birdsong.
What's up, Mike?
And over here on my left, we've got the man, the Iron Man of the Audio Nowcast. Which we got to come up with.
That's
just
our design for this.
Rob Arbatier.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. You got the mask on.
Today is the red one or the gray one?
Yeah, because that makes a different sound.
You know, I hear an octave that we don't usually have on the
podcast. That's right. Which brings me up with today's guest.
Today, who would that be?
We have the honor and the privilege of having Heather Haley with us.
It is my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Heather Haley is an actress and a fantastic VO talent. Oh. And probably the nicest person you will ever meet.
Wow. I agree. Yes.
So it's all downhill from here.
Right. Her website looks awesome. So pink.
And you know what? I've just never seen all you guys be on such good behavior either.
Oh my
man.
Gosh.
I mean, everybody's like, you know.
Well, Rob's in the room, so you know.
You're all talking about the ends.
I'm with all these handsome gentlemen. Come on. Right.
Wow. She's too kind.
See? No, I'm being honest.
I didn't know she was blind.
You know what I mean? Heather's going to be joining us every other podcast.
Yeah.
They pay me a lot.
but actually, I worked with Heather last Friday.
Yes.
And we did some spots together, and she was just a really good VO talent. And we haven't done any shows on VO with VO talent, so I invited her over, and she said yes.
Very cool. Of course. Wow. I saw your guys' site, and I'm like, I'm on board. So, I'm on board.
You know, boy, did we fool her. So we're going to talk a little bit about VO. We're going to talk a little bit about and Heather and what you've done, and you've done some pretty great things. But before we do that, I want to start on a couple things. I got an email actually from one of our listeners.
Uh-oh.
And
it better not be about the bonsai. I love your bonsai.
Which listener was it? The first one or the second one?
This is a brand new third listener.
Wow.
To number three.
Wow. Wait a second. I'm four. Come on.
Four, we got four.
Our first female listener.
It's gotta feel success.
But the listener wanted to know, because apparently he just got stiffed for a big amount of money on a job that he did. And he was asking me, and he wanted to open it up.
Goldman Sachs, right?
He wanted to hear some of our stories of when we've gotten totally stiffed on a gig, or if we've ever gotten stiffed on a gig, or how to protect yourself from doing that.
So, raging dog.
I just want to open.
Send me over. I also collect money.
I just thought that was a really good thing that
it
you
is.
Know because a lot of us spend a lot of our time doing you know work for hire, doing freelance work, things of that nature. And so let me just open it up right now. Let me start with you, Diego. You have any horror stories?
Unfortunately, coming from Italy, I had several horror stories. Yes. I haven't been paid in a big project. The project totally went belly up. There was nothing left. So many people haven't been paid, and I was actually one of the last in the list of the creditors. So I didn't even bother to go collect the money when they did the thing at the court.
Yeah,
because it was just there were people waiting, you know, for hundreds of thousands of euros. I was way lower on the scale, but unfortunately, you know, this is the kind of things that when they happen, they make you feel so sick inside.
Because
you have been working on this project, because you always try to give the best that we have. And then when these things happen, it's like, why? Why?
But with what you guys do, which is always fascinating to me as a voiceover person, because it's really not only it's just a team effort, but you guys make us sound good. is there any type of contracts or anything that you negotiate with these people prior? Or
yeah, but when something goes bankrupt,
it doesn't matter.
It's
forget
bankrupt.
It, yeah. Right? They have no
it's
money,
gone.
So gotcha.
Well, yeah.
Well, we do a lot because we deal with large sums of money because as a company, we if it's a first-time client, we do one of two things. We do 50% up front. We cover costs. Second thing we do, if we work with overseas companies, which we do quite often, we will create an escrow account. Mm-hmm. And they have to actually put the money in the escrow account to know that the money's really there. And then we start working. Then that company, based on us hitting contractual milestones, will then divvy out that money.
Into the account.
Because, yeah, we dealt with one company from Korea, and we didn't get paid, and we hired a collection company, and they finally got the money. But we had to pay the collection company, which gets a decent percentage. And we just started realizing, you know, when we're starting to deal with those sums of money and we're putting out that amount of labor, that we need some security. So if we don't get the 50% up front, then we'll create an escrow account.
Right. Wow. That's pretty smart. What about you,
Well,
Rob?
I was going to say it's actually a similar thing, but for smaller projects, I mean, you're talking about feature films where the budgets are budgets are pretty huge. I think a basic rule of thumb that's simpler for most people is get half up front and make sure you're charging enough for the whole job that if all you ever get is that half,
it's more
you're
common
okay.
practice here. Yeah. In other countries, not that common practice. So it's like asking, you know, 50% up front. It's like, oh my God, you don't trust me?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well,
business is business until you show a history with somebody.
Right.
Because one of the things, we do a tremendous amount of work with SAG, and we're a SAG signatory. Mm-hmm. So we'll be on the line, hate to say it, could be $1 million in actors.
Yeah, that level, yeah,
and we can't be sitting there because as a signator, we have to pay the actors to go out of business.
Right.
So if they don't pay us, we're screwed. Right. So there are different issues, yes.
Well, the other thing,
so you have to protect yourself.
I've noticed that I do the 50% up front. I was telling Brandon beforehand, I go, you know what? Figure out what you want to make in the job. What's the minimum that you're going to take? Get that and then double it and there's your rate. And then you collect half up front. And then, in the end,
worst case scenario,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
But I've also noticed that most of the, you know, the companies that I work with and they're really credible and they have the money, they have no problem with that 50% deposit.
Absolutely,
because they're not planning to screw you.
Exactly.
So it's like whether you get half up front or whether you get the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing, but whether you get,
because they do the same thing.
Yeah, and so
if
they're
they
well funded
enough, right.
And quite frankly, like when I'm working on if I'm mixing an independent film or if I'm mixing a documentary, I'm not the biggest cost that they've got, you know? Yeah. So they, you know, are used to spending a lot more than what they spend in post-production audio and sound. And so it's usually not that bad to ask for 50% up front. And it just protects you. But, right. You know, I've had horror stories where, well, in the music world, that's a whole other thing.
It would be interesting to know, how young is this guy and if he works alone, because those things are, you know, these factors matter also on how strong you can be in negotiating these things.
Well, I'll get paid weekly. In other words, create milestones to say, if it's projects X amount and you're an individual and you don't have a company and you don't have something big, then say every week, give me this. So let's say 5-6 weeks in or day, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, let me ask, Rob, do you have a horror story about, since you wanted some horror stories, let's give him a couple.
Well,
without naming names?
I do. I will say it's not just... It's not just about not being paid for cash. It's also a lot of times, especially in music, you'll do a project on spec and you'll say, you know what, we'll do a contract between us. So if we ever make any money, this is how we're going to split the money. Do not do the work until you have that contract figured out. I see it. I was talking to a young band that had that happening right now, actually. They're working with a producer. They know that they're going to have to sign a contract with the producer before the project's done, but they're working and working and working on this album, not knowing what that contract's going to be. And that is a huge mistake. So it's not just about getting money up front. Have a contract up front if you're going to do the thing on spec. You know,
also, you know what? Spec is that's a great thing. You know, spec projects, a lot of people either hate them or really don't like them.
I was going to say. It's like the new crowdsourcing thing. It's in that kind of ballpark.
But I will say there are instances where I've done spec work that it's turned out pretty good. But the whole key when you're doing spec is you got to keep a perspective, all right? Like, for instance, if someone comes up to me and they said, hey, I want you to mix my independent film or whatever, and they're looking for funding, I'll go back to them and I'll say, okay, why don't we do this? Why don't we just do like the first 10 minutes? I'll do the first 10 minutes of your film, and let's just, you know, your funders will get a great idea of what this can be in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, but
so for me, it's, you know what, I lose an evening, but, you know, I've had some of those turn out to be pretty good.
You know what, I would say, because most of the time a spec thing doesn't mean an evening. Most of the time it's a really huge amount of work.
Exactly.
I've done whole albums on spec. I will say this. I think that probably 80% of the time, spec is a complete waste of time.
If you do
work on spec, then you're thought of as the person who works on spec, and then as soon as they have money, they go elsewhere.
Yeah, but you know what happens too? They have you work on spec, and maybe the stuff that you made was great, and someone else is going to pick up from there.
Well, that's
so
right.
your idea is going to be used by someone else.
But that's what I'm saying.
You're on spec.
I'm saying don't let it take all those times. Just keep everything in perspective. You know, just,
most of the time, spec is a waste of time, and a lot of people don't realize that.
That's true, Rob.
And that's just take it from an old grizzled experience.
I was with Rob through most of that, so I. Yeah.
No, I totally agree most of the time, but if you're going to do it, because let's face it, there's a lot of people that dangle some pretty tempting carrots out there.
Sure.
I've been on the other side. So just, if you're going to do it, keep it in perspective.
I mean,
just keep it.
And
keep
you
it.
Say perspective. See?
If you're doing a spec deal, to audition, because we've done that. Like, I'll say, hey, I'll put my money where my mouth is.
Right.
If you want to get 3 bids from somebody, and we'll do a little demo for you,
right,
which isn't quite spec, and then may the best team win, absolutely. But if you do spec on a project where you finish the project.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Unless you keep the masters.
Right.
And you say, great, you get the money. It's so hard because contractually you need to get lawyers, but the reality is, if the guy has no money,
how are you going to get a small?
Or you do it just to do
that's
it.
Why, like I said, you keep it in perspective. You keep it so that you know, hey, if they walk, you never see anything, and you haven't given them the whole thing, and you've given up an evening, and you know what, it could work.
So
out.
So, like I say, you're one of the guys that don't hate it but don't really like it.
No, well, that's the thing. I've gotten some great gigs just going off of spec, but once again, you got to keep it in perspective. And to be honest, too, the gigs that I've gotten, there was nobody else that could have done what I did. I designed one of the clients that actually me and Rob met with. I designed a GPS system for a whole audio tour and stuff, and I put that whole thing together. And I put the system together for free, right? I designed the whole thing basically, and I said it's going to cost you this much. And if they go for it, then they paid me. And sure enough, they went for it. You know, but it was all. It was all my labor.
Yeah, you were very confident that you were getting this thing. But unfortunately, when they do spec work in these days, they might ask 10 guys.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a bet.
I think the bottom line is, I mean, they're asking for specific examples. I think we've all been screwed on spec projects. None of us, I would imagine, are going to actually give the names. I mean, I've gotten screwed by some really huge artists.
Usually they're the ones.
Absolutely. You know what's interesting
about
spec deals? Or if you're by yourself, it's kind of terrible. If you're doing with a group of people that get together and work on spec, one thing that happens, even if you get screwed, is you actually bond with those people. Because one of the great things that you want to do in our business is find ways of bonding with other people, which fortunately happens during tough times.
Relationships.
So there's people who go, oh, man, remember 10 years ago when we worked for blah, blah, we all got screwed? Yeah. Hey, we're doing the third gig together. And all of a sudden, that gig that screwed you, you've gotten a whole history of work from these people.
Yeah. Great.
These people have worked with each other. So anyway, there's so much noise out there in our business that everyone's busy doing what they do, but if there's any way that you can find time to find a way to bond with somebody and get a relationship that can last a lifetime,
right,
it can pay off in spades.
No, that's true too. That's the whole relationship is a whole great thing about it is knowing the people, and you kind of feel like you're going to war. You know what I mean? You kind of feel like it's you against the world. Rob, I will say I agree with you as far as getting contracts and things like that up front, especially if we're talking music. I got a horror story, and I may name a name, but I was...
No, don't.
I do, because it really took me off. I was working
you go,
on tour. I designed...
With?
I'll tell you in a second. Okay. I designed this really big, and it wasn't Stevie Wonder, by the way.
Thank you.
I designed this big computer music system, and we're in pre-production. We're over in North Carolina in a big, giant, you know, arena doing all the rehearsals for the show, and I haven't been paid, and this is like 3 weeks into it. And I haven't seen anything hit my bank account, and I'm like, what's up? And so I cornered the tour accountant right then and there, and I said,
wow, that must be very convincing.
What happened? And
how did you say
it?
Just like that. Where's my
I can't. Yeah. Listen, he was a pawn, so I can't.
Did you have Tourette's at that time?
But I asked him, I said, where's my paycheck? And he said, listen, the reason why I haven't cut you a check yet is because the manager – I'll just say the manager told me to cut everybody's pay. Boom, right off the top. And I'm like, and we're already in pre-production.
That's wrong.
And
that's illegal.
It was horrible.
It is illegal.
So you pull the plug and walk away.
What I did is I said,
I like the camera. I'll take this.
I even better than that, literally.
What, gold record?
I started and stopped every single song. I knew where all the files were.
Wow.
I had all the control of the actual show. Yeah. It was because I ran all the sequences and everything. And I brought the artist and I brought the accountant together. And I said, your manager just told him to cut my pay. We originally had this deal. I don't want any more. I just want us to do what the deal is. And so right then and there, he said, okay, go ahead and authorized it. You know, but I felt bad for all
that's
the other
so
people.
That's so wrong.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. I could not believe that here I was. I had to go all the way to the top because he was the only person that could overrule, you know, the manager, and just he paid.
And by the way, the psychological aspects of what it was telling you was like, it's not just you, buddy, so fly down. It's everybody else included.
I believe it.
Like that makes it okay somehow.
Well, other things that I found, which, you know, are much more subtle, which it actually has happened. We negotiated a price and spent time haggling. Then we get the contract. And our CFO, whatever, signs it off, boom, sent it out. Then we get the money. We said, wait a minute. You didn't pay us all the money. He said, yes, we did. Look at the contract. And on the contract, they changed the numbers, sent it back to us, and we didn't go. We said, wait a minute. We agreed on this. They said, we thought that was too much on the contract. We changed it. Because you guys didn't look at your contract, it's not our problem.
You can't do that about
negotiation.
And we said, well, wait a minute. We negotiated in good faith.
Absolutely.
And they go, I call it the sucker syndrome.
Liars.
Sucker, you didn't look at the contract. Not my problem.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, there's scams are... They can be dressed in so many different clothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, Brandon, why don't you tell me the story?
It's a different kind of scam.
Yeah,
but
don't, you know, you don't have to name names.
I'm not going to name names, but a certain large movie production studio released a movie earlier this year. The movie was, not only was the trailer out, the movie was released already, and an editor I work with came to me and said, hey, I heard one of your pieces of music in that trailer. That's great. I said, I don't know about that. So I went and checked out. Sure enough, it's in there. And this company did not even contact me to license it.
Unbelievable.
Wow. And so I got a hold of whoever their music licensing person was, just sent them an invoice.
Very
said, do you owe me this?
Good for you.
And didn't even negotiate price. And they wrote, here's the funny part. They wrote back, and this was their excuse. They go, oh, we just got the cue sheet from the trailer house. Not only was the trailer out for months,
like
the movie
know.
Was out. And I was like, why are you even giving me this?
Don't even try. It.
Yeah, don't even give me that.
Cue sheets take a long time.
Very good.
Yeah. Sometimes they write it badly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those Excel files take a while to send through the internet.
Did they end up paying?
Oh, yeah, they paid.
Okay, good.
I got a great rate for it.
So you're paying dinner tonight?
The same people that did Scott's contract.
I can't name names, but two big entities got together in gaming. It was a gaming movie combo.
Right.
And one person said, well, we don't necessarily need us. And the other company said, no, we want them to work on this project. And what happened was nobody was sure whose budget we were coming out of.
Oh, no.
So they said, you're coming out of this budget. And we said, okay, great. And they said, no, remember we said we weren't going to hire you because we didn't need you. The other company said that they were going to hire you. They should pay for it.
Wow.
And we never got paid. Because everyone said that the other person was supposed to pay for it. And what happens with a lot of production companies, the moment the production's done, they're gone. It just disintegrates.
Yep.
And also we're like, who did we get money from?
Yeah, that's true.
Does the signatory go after the whomever?
It wasn't actually a SAG project, but the problem we ran into was our contact was also a project-by-project person. All the producers are. So all of a sudden, everybody disappeared.
And they make gazillions in gaming.
And we had, and it was actually that those people were part of a big studio, but we had their number at the studio. Then you call that number. They're no longer on the project, so they're not even there. Nah. So then you start going through this maze of who do I talk to about a project that you know, and you just go, and we eventually just realized after a year you're not going to get paid.
They're
going to
get it. What goes around comes around.
And it was a very successful project.
Well, the word spreads. Yeah. That's one thing. I mean, we're not dropping names right now, but somebody gets screwed on a project, the word does get out, and it's a horrible thing to have that on your reputation.
But you know what? We did invent a new drinking game, though.
Oh,
every
really?
Time we don't say a name. or we don't name a project.
Yeah. Right.
Heather, in your world, the VO, do you have any horror stories about that? I'm sure you...
Oh, Lord.
Are you sad?
I am.
Oh, then there's very large men that come to you. It's like, you are 24 hours and 6 minutes late.
No. Oh, you guys are wonderful. No, I've actually, it's kind of funny because when you say spec, we sometimes do spec and we sometimes do scratch.
Right.
What is scratch?
Yeah. Well, scratch can be, you know, they could hire you to come in and do a scratch, say, before the big star comes in. So the animators have something to look at or, you know, during dailies and things like that. But there have been a few times when I've actually done scratch and they've taken it because, you know, you do it for free in hopes that their word is.
Right.
Absolutely. And then there have been a couple times when I was actually, I'm like, I've had friends around the country call me and say, Heather, I heard you on so-and-so, and I go, really? Really? So then it has to go through, you know, and it's not, truthfully, it's not, wasn't my agent's fault or anything like that. No. It's just,
So it went on the air?
It went on the air. Yeah.
Like exactly.
Well, Scratch VO, though, is that's pretty common, especially when you're doing, like, TV spots or where you're doing trailers and things like that.
But for you to actually use it, I could see how you could get ripped off with it.
SAG is usually really good.
Oh, no, yeah.
The moment
very
you go,
good.
Hey, wait a minute, my voice hasn't been used on other things and I didn't get my extra pay. And they're so all over the signatories.
And after, too. And the thing is, too, if you're doing, you know, FICOR, because a lot of people, you know, FICOR is a big thing, and I'm saying that only because of the times we live in.
What is FICOR?
FICOR is basically what it is you are a dues-paying non-member. So basically, you pay the dues, and you're not allowed to vote or run for office. So that way, you're basically saying, hey, SAG and AFTRA, I'm not going to do this behind your back. I'm going to be doing non-union work and union work. Because I'm still paying my dues. So it's a way for, you know, actors who are, you know, I don't care if you're doing on film or voiceover, whatever. I mean, we're in difficult times.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's a great way to go if I know the union isn't too crazy about it. But if you need to pay your mortgage and you need to pay your bills and put food on the table for your family, I think it's wonderful. Because at least you're being honest and saying, hey, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. And I'm still paying my dues as opposed to going behind somebody's back.
Right. So, and SAG is getting their money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they want to keep the strength of the actors in SAG.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, they still want to have that camaraderie. I just think that nobody should be bullied, whether you're, you know, doing what you guys do, or as actors, or anybody, you should never be strong-armed by anyone to say, well, you know, you're going to be blacklisted. It's like, hey, I got to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
And you know what?
And well?
and well.
Yeah.
And eat well.
Of
course.
But it would seem too that with you know, if you have talent, it's amazing. You know, your talent will take you, especially with VO.
Well, you know, and it's kind of like what Scott was saying, though, too. It's the relationships that right. have really saved me this past year of people calling me or calling my agent and saying, Heather, you know, we worked with her, and we bonded, and it was a genuine relationship, and we worked well together.
Right.
So that is a huge, huge thing right. in right. voiceover.
That's great.
Well, I mean, because...
Huge.
And you want to be good with either clients or casting directors.
Well, sure.
Because if they don't know you exist, then you don't exist.
Oh, and you know what? Yeah, and sometimes it takes casting directors years to go, oh, that's Heather Halley? Oh, I don't... Oh, you know, even though I've been right. auditioning for them for like a year and a half,
right. mm-hmm.
I didn't even get my first job till, gosh, almost a year of auditioning.
Because yeah. They're the regulars. I mean, I know right. that because we have five casting directors, and they all have their favorites.
Sure,
and they
sure.
go, oh, we're going to bring John, and we're bring Mary.
Right,
we're
right, always like
and,
that. Yeah.
And they just automatically, oh, you want that kind of voice?
I call that the animation moth.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to interrupt really quick because we're totally going to go down this road after the break, but I want to wrap up the horror stories and getting paid really quick.
Oh.
So before we let it go into the ether, does anybody have any last bits of advice for making sure you get paid? If what would you tell this guy? And I don't know how old he is, but let's just assume that he's just a struggling musician out there who's doing some post in part time. Any advice, really quick?
50% up front? You know what? Well, 50% up front, but you know what? We're all intelligent people, and we've all been screwed. So,
when you work for those kind of houses, or when you work, whether it's music, post, or anything, once you work for those people, realize that if they're really not at the game, or they're a little sleazy, if you go up front intelligently knowing, I may not get paid for this,
right. mm-hmm.
then you know and then you try to find other upsides to that gig.
That's
right.
a great idea.
Right, it could still be
right.
worth doing for
right.
your,
because
for your
the
resume or whatever. Right.
experience of doing it.
Yeah. Do you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, sometimes you can negotiate the 50% fee up front, but maybe the guy has a difficulty. Maybe you don't want to say, okay, I'm not trusting you at all. Maybe you can renegotiate something a little, you know, a little less at the beginning.
Gotcha.
Because sometimes you can't be 100%, okay, you either pay me or I'm not working.
Well, it's right. a business,
because
though,
the situation
it's
is, can be flexible, especially in these days.
Business
so,
is business. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
it depends
yeah.
where you are in your career, too. If you're True. Trying to put together a reel, like True. As a commercial composer, you're trying to put together a reel. If you have absolutely nothing to play for people, well, guess what? Everybody has to do some music yep. for free to
right,
have something
right,
to play.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if somebody says they're going to pay you, but they don't, but you get a cool piece of footage to use on your reel,
right?
Well, you know what? You got a benefit out yeah. of the thing.
Right. Yeah. That's the case.
You know what? The other thing, too, is I think you should trust your instinct, too. You know, kind of read the situation.
Well, I mean, I usually trust my instinct, but in the case of that production in Italy, I trusted the guy, and then everything got lost.
No. You're so, just going to get screwed at some point. That's okay.
What I mean, but what I mean by trust your instinct, not in a positive way, like if something seems kind of shady, you know, then
well, but I'm sure that project didn't seem
or
shady.
Or too good.
Or
yeah,
too good to be.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Just
you know
saying,
what? I guess the thing is, what Rob said, reality is you probably will get screwed at least once or twice in yeah. your life,
or more.
No matter how intelligent you are.
Right.
And
well,
it just goes with
you. Do you know
what
advice I would give to this guy?
Yeah.
I would say this. Okay, it might hurt because you got screwed, but I wouldn't become nasty or I wouldn't change too much my attitude toward clients. I mean, I would still
just
be
tell
positive.
Everybody you know that this guy screwed you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a little more cautious. Say, hey, you know what? Not because I don't trust you, but because I had bad experience in the past, I'm going to have to ask you 50% up front.
Right.
So you don't have to become nasty.
That's
so that's a good advice, I think.
But you know, it's actually, we were joking. We said, if someone screws you, tell everybody, which works the other way around.
Right.
If
you work for somebody, ask everybody you know, do you know this guy?
Right.
Absolutely.
Do you know anything about him? Oh, yeah, I got screwed by him.
Absolutely.
Then you know.
One thing I'll say, too, is I've definitely been screwed on some projects, but in every case, I learned something from it.
Mm-hmm.
And an education, it's not the same as a cash payment. You can't, you know, pay your mortgage with education.
It's true.
Unfortunately.
But if you're going to go through that experience, at least learn from it.
Yeah.
It's okay to make mistakes, but don't make the same one twice.
Was it shame on you? And
yeah.
twice.
First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me.
Yeah.
And then the mortgage company just says, it's just a shame. It's just a shame. We'll take the front door keys now.
Okay, everybody home.
You know, one final thought on this, too, is, I do a lot of work for hire, but I also hire a lot of crews on some of these things. So if you're out there and you're in a position where you're going to hire freelancers, pay them.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
And pay them, you know, in a timely fashion.
Yes.
Exactly. Be honest.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? Whoever you got the email address of the guy who was asking about getting screwed, if he's willing to work for free and not complain about it too much, we should get his email address. We're always looking for subcontractors.
Sorry, whoever you are, sorry. And I can joke sometimes.
Well, hey, guys, this is a good place for us to take a break. So we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to visit with Heather a little bit more and talk about all things VO.
Woo!
So we'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to the Audio Nowcast, sponsored by Aphex and Westwave Audio. Have a question for the panel? Would you like to be a guest on the Audio Nowcast and live in the LA area? Email us at audio@nowcastnetwork.com.
Hey, welcome to the Audio Nowcast, and we are just barely hanging on.
This is the third time we're trying again.
We are barely hanging on. Anyway,
yeah.
Before the break, we were talking about...
couches.
What were we talking about? I don't remember what we were talking during the break.
Couches and siestas.
No, we were talking about not getting paid and how
that's
we can avoid
not cool.
that.
Especially with siestas.
Especially with couches.
Yes.
No. We're going to put that to bed right now.
What a segue.
Oh, man. If you could only hear what went on off the air. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, we are honored to have Heather with us. Heather, you just bring up energy to the room that we haven't had since...
Oh, thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Seriously.
No, last podcast. You guys hear. Hey, wait a second.
No, I'm just kidding. but seriously... let's visit a little bit. Heather, like I said, I met her this past week. We did a session together for a regional electronics store, and she really nailed the reads, and she was really great. And I sent her an email and asked her if she would join us, and she was like, sure, I'd love to join you. And so it's like I said, it's an honor to have you here. But I wanted to talk to you about VO.
Okay.
Because – VO is one of those professions that everybody thinks they can do. You know?
It's true. Hi there.
You're hired.
Everybody thinks that they can do VO. And what they don't realize is VO, and that's voiceover. So we'll just go from there.
Oh, it's not vegetarian omelets?
That's what I thought we were talking about. That's the number two at IHOP.
No, but it's a craft, and it's actually it's acting.
It
and
is, very much so.
The best,
thank you.
Best voiceover people are really great actors.
And not all actors are great voiceover.
That is so
true. That's very true.
That is so true. But let's talk about your story, Heather. How did you get started? And tell us a little bit about what you do and some of the things that you have done.
First of all, thank you. I love being here with you guys.
What
sincerely.
A voice.
Oh, see, thank God for voiceover.
Remember,
I always say
acting.
That.
She's
that's
acting.
Right. A lot of my boyfriends have said that. Wait a second. Whoa, wait. Okay. Anyhow.
Sorry.
I was fortunate enough at a very young age to start dancing with Patrick Swayze's mom, Patsy Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the places in the world, she came from Houston, Texas to Simi Valley, California, where I was raised.
Mm.
So I danced with Patsy, and then I went on to do musical theater, which is really my foundation, which was, I find, for me, I might be considered a bit of a snob, but theater really is the...
Theater.
It is. The theater brings
drinking.
But it's, to me, it's the best learning ground.
Right.
It really, really is. And my dad worked for Disney for 20 years, which was...
Which department?
My dad actually was Walt's contractor. He did all the contracts. Speaking of contracts.
Wow.
Yes.
So she really knows how to get paid.
That's why she didn't say anything when we were talking about that. She's like, not me. Never happened to me.
If you only knew. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But no, I'd always loved animation and, you know, commercials, mm-hmm. too, and I had a tape recorder when I was a little girl, and I was always like, Ma, I want to hear myself back, you know, so just this shit. So it started with that foundation, and also I was very fortunate to get chosen many years ago to go and study at the Henson Company in New York for a couple of weeks doing puppetry and voices, so... Mm. You know, I had amazing training there with Kevin Clash, who's Elmo, and then my dear friend Rick Lyon, who was Avenue Q, who created Avenue Q.
Yeah, right.
So that really, really pushed me towards doing a demo. Loving all of that and that type of foundation. And I don't necessarily think that you have to have, you know, I've had many people say, I've got such a great voice, you know. And I'm like, well... You'd probably need to get with somebody that, you know, for a workshop or get comfortable in front of the microphone and all that good stuff. But getting back to how I got started, that's really where I made a demo. I researched and researched and researched. Plus, I did some workshops, which I also researched and researched and researched, asked other actors, listened to other demos, talked to a lot of people. And I was very fortunate that I had... some really great help along the way. Bob Bergen, who is Porky Pig and Tweety, and I mean, he's a brilliant. And not only is he a phenomenal voiceover actor, he is just so generous with his time. And I will be forever grateful to him. So that's what I did. I really had to do my research and my homework, and I found a place to do my demo. And from that point, I actually had a friend bring my demo in. So, see, there's that relationship thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I was fortunate to get an agent. But my first agency, it was like, oh, I could not book. And it was kind of like being thrown in with the sharks.
Right.
Because I was with all these incredibly talented people. I'm like, why am I not? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And... it wasn't necessarily, you know, yeah, of course that's placed upon me and I was just learning, but it was also, you know, it's such a numbers game and it's, you know, the sound, whatever. But I didn't book, it was about a year before I booked my first job.
Were you going out for film and TV and stage stuff at the same time?
At that time, I wasn't. It took, I kind of put that aside and focused on the voiceover and was, you know, working a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, I was able to fortunately go on and do on camera and do commercials and films and stuff. So, yeah.
So when you started your voiceover, did you find that was it more challenging than your acting? Was it a different type of acting?
Very different type of acting because I'm so loud. I'm like, hey! You know, I'll never forget my first, God bless Dolores Deal, but she'd say, like, Heather, you're not projecting to the back of the theater. You know, ebb and flow, don't need to hear every consonant. And I'm like, what do you mean? So definitely, it really is... theater of the mind. It's like those really great old radio shows with Agnes Moorehead and Joseph Cotton and, it really is about creating that for somebody, that reality. So you can, you know, for me at least, someone that's doing it well, it's almost like I used to be told, you know, Heather, pretend like there's a baby in the booth with you. Because that helped me, because some things are more intimate, obviously.
Yes.
But I had this projection problem for quite a while.
Well, I will tell you, being the engineer on the other end of that projection,
it
wasn't a problem at all. I mean, you
bring a new mic.
It's actually better to get an actor that knows how to project a little bit.
That's true.
The volume goes up, and it's
here. Yeah. It's easier, I guess, to bring people.
Especially when they do voices.
Back. Oh, well, yeah. Like,
and you're like, what?
That's pretty good, Scott.
One thing that's pretty evident, too, is your acting training, because when you do your session, you're very animated in the booth, you know? Aww. You were very, like, when they were
it
giving
helps.
You direction.
Oh, yeah.
It was
it
like,
really helps.
Giving you little lead-ins, too, like if you had
but to But the leopard skin clothes were great.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
thank
but,
you.
But I think that's the one thing that I want to stress to people, and I'm glad you mentioned it, too, is VO is not just reading your words.
Oh,
VO
no.
is acting.
It
it's
really
acting.
Is acting. It
and
really,
it's acting
really
through
is.
The mic.
It is, which is a completely different element within itself. And anybody that, you know, it's so funny because some actors, you know, maybe it's a lack of self-confidence or whatever, but sometimes you get the cocky person, like I was saying, right. saying, hey, I've got the great voice. And truthfully, I can sit here and listen to each one of you and put you in an area which you would be wonderful in. I mean, each of you have a distinct voice. There's nobody like Rob. There's nobody like Mike. There's nobody like Diego or Scott or Brent. There's nobody like you guys. You're each your own. And that's something, too, where I think people need to realize is there's only one you. Somebody might kind
okay,
of sound
I need to
like
say
you,
something.
But
okay. I'm getting spaced out because your voice is...
No, seriously. The voice is beautiful. The way she talks, I'm just looking at... I'm
oh,
just listening to a
God.
Film without the film. And if you're really bringing me to some sort of story just by talking.
But I love
it. It's
him.
Great.
You know, I've seen voice actors where you think, oh, I got to see what this person looks like. And a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
times they look nothing like
no.
what you think. Some guy just really looked, I remember this one guy looked really homely and
right.
just nothing. And next thing is like, you know, just I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're afraid. And
you
believe
just never,
me.
Yes, because the voice,
absolutely.
You have to be able to close your eyes. And if it's a game or something, you think this guy's like 20 feet tall with horns
right.
coming out.
Right.
And
right.
you just
right.
automatically think. And We went through a movie coming up called Season of the Witch, comes out in December.
Oh, that's so cool. Cause and everyone knows what, because I've actually been to Scott's at can I say where you?
Yeah, yeah.
At Sound
fine.
Deluxe.
Yeah.
With Chip and all my give a shout out.
Which Chip is and bacon.
Chip and bacon. Bacon
yeah.
is meat candy.
Bacon, yes.
By the way, yes.
Inside
and
joke.
Chris. And Chris
yes,
Zimmerman,
Chris
who's
Zimmerman,
an
yes.
amazing director. But no, your place is one of the... It truly is one of the coolest places to go with the people that you have working there and on top of
thank
just the
boy.
Person.
I paid her to say this.
He did.
Oh, that's
her.
But
I'm sorry, am I
said...
in the next game?
You know the games.
It helps, though. It really does
but it
help
does. You were saying that everyone has a voice, and when we were casting for this one character...
Okay, I didn't read on that. What was
no,
that?
No, you didn't. No. actually, it was interesting. We went with all guys, and at the very last minute, we went to Kathleen Turner. And it was... We were,
whom I love.
Because we needed a demon. We needed a female demon.
Oh, she's
of course, so we needed men. And we went through 60 actors.
Wow.
And it was literally
60. I believe
it. Was literally, they lined up. I mean, it wasn't all in one day.
Right.
We would bring in 10 at a time.
Right.
And they'd come in and we'd say, and a lot of times it took, I know that I made my decision within 30 seconds.
Right. Wow.
It was like, okay, hear me this. Boom. Thank you very much.
You
we let them finish it. And then we'd say, is there anything else that you can do that would fit this? And, you know, one guy went into like 5 or 6 voices that were all amazing.
Yeah.
And he was on our short list. And we were like, this is great. You know, we could use
yeah.
a mod with him. Because this wasn't the session. This was the audition
right.
to figure out
right.
what you do. And all of a sudden, you close your eyes and you would see the character
right.
or not.
Wow. And that's when you know, for me, especially if I watch, you know, even like Flintstones redone or,
yeah.
or Scooby-Doo, it's like, if it isn't that voice, because the, you know, Dawes Butler and all those wonderful people, when they brought those characters to life.
Right.
Yeah.
They lived to
yep.
me. I mean, they were alive.
There's something. For example,
see, I'm good.
In Italy, we have a huge tradition of dubbing films. So
right,
every foreign film is dubbed in Italian,
right.
and so there's a huge you know industry. And
for that.
I still have very good memories when I was 20. I was working in commercials, radio commercials. I still have very good memories of how great it was just to I was you know recording them.
Right.
And Every of these people had this beautiful voice and the way they were talking and so
well, especially in you know Italian
yeah
too, it's beautiful
and every culture has a different perspective because
very much
all
so.
Of a sudden because some of the films that I've done, it was really weird when I hear them in other languages, kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'll get an actor who's the leading actor.
You sound like Scooby.
Who is like a higher voice, just the normal voice, but that's the big actor.
Right.
Goes up, he speaks like this. Right. He's that lead actor. All of a sudden, he dropped an octave.
Right. Right.
And the guy who's kind of the funny guy, who may have a deep voice, has a high voice.
Right.
And all of a sudden, these cultures, because all the macho men have to be deeper voiced.
Right.
The cartoon voices have to go high.
Right.
And you're sitting there going like...
And is it cartoony or is it more realistic? Like, I did a... it's on sci-fi. It's called Monster. Mm-hmm. And it's a Japanese interactive... Or I shouldn't say interactive, excuse me. It's a Japanese anime. Mm-hmm. And wow, you know... That's a completely different, yeah. You know, and it's a very graphic, it's beautifully animated. I mean, the animators are just amazing, but it is a different style.
Now, do you do Walla groups?
You know, I haven't, and I wanted to get involved, and this is funny because when you mentioned the film and the TV and stuff, I went and interviewed, and this was a couple of years ago. Well, no, I shouldn't say that, 6 years ago probably, and they said, you know what, we'd like to hire you, but we think you're going to be wanting to go out for on camera.
Right.
So it was kind of like, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know what?
Is
she's
that
right.
You can't do, though? Oh, Barbara Harris? Love.
I'm not saying any names.
Okay,
fair enough.
Sorry.
Oh, you know way too many people. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but she's the big one with Walla groups. I mean, she's.
Well, you know that yeah, she's but there's a lot. There's good. Probably about 10. She's big, but
she's been around forever.
There's other Mad Dogs. There's Barbara Harris.
No,
there's
true.
There's a lot.
Okay. You know what? Yes, it was.
Yeah. No, because I know that certain people have very strong restrictions.
But I respected
on what
that.
They can do. What the reason why, and which is interesting with Barbara, she wants to make sure at a moment's notice.
You're there.
She if she needs an actor,
right?
Because if I need an actor, because this really comes down to I hire the Walla group,
right?
That if I need somebody, they need to be there if they're that
absolutely.
Kind of voice. And
absolutely.
She needs to rely on her actors.
And let me cut in. Why don't you tell people what a Walla group is?
A Walla group is...
Watermelon.
Oh, well, actually, that's where it started.
Yep.
Is a bunch of people would sit in a room, and we needed a crowded restaurant to talk, or a courtroom or something, and they would go, whoa, whoa. And the reason why, which is interesting, there's lots of philosophy, why you don't want them to speak English.
It's true.
Because when you do foreigns... There can be no English. It has to be in the native country.
That's true.
With a good Walla group, first of all, first requirement, I don't want people to do cartoons. Because there's some woman who does Bart Simpson, you know, not the actress, but
right.
Speaks like this and like this. Because what happens, I've got 2 hours that I need Walla group and they need to be through the whole thing.
Right.
So it always seemed that early on, I got someone who speaks like this, you know, that really deep voice. You could pick him out of a crowd.
Oh, my gosh.
That easy.
It'll just
and then the other
saturate.
One is the woman who does young boy sounds.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, those, come I need through. To go, you two need to stop now.
Right.
Because the whole movie, I hear you all the time.
Right.
And a good Walla person isn't, because they're going, maybe they can hear me. And that's not the point of it.
Right.
Now, also, we need to be able to do languages. If we're doing Robin Hood, we need English accents.
Hey, did you tell Kevin Costner, even though I love what he's doing for the Gulf, yeah, but Robin Hood, the accent, I'm sorry, I went straight to Kevin Costner's. Sorry. Love you, Kevin.
Yeah. So, you know, sorry, anytime Scott. We do, like, it was interesting when we... I did Walla group actually in Hellboy 2 in London.
Oh, right. I love that!
Oh, thank you. Boy, there's some more of my money here.
Cool.
But what was
man.
Interesting was I had actors from Europe,
right.
Which was very different than the U.S., sort of. But what was interesting, they had a lot of mixture because everybody in London's from Germany and Italy,
right.
And, you know. And we had the whole thing where they had to go through this whole German spiel, and they would just talk naturally. And we're well, going, of course, what are you saying?
Right.
Because there have been history where people have said, like, you know.
Yeah. All sorts of things.
Really bad things that when we go, sounds great. And you go, my God, they're slurring, you know. So it's like, oh, please tell me what you said.
Right.
I would be nice to hear some Italian.
Well, no, you know what it was? In Hellboy 2, we had a flashback of the opening of Hellboy 1.
Right.
Which was
I
the Germans
those.
And the whole...
Oh, it was so
yeah.
brilliant.
Right. So what happened was we didn't, because it was a different studio,
right.
We didn't have the rights to lift Hellboy 1 for Hellboy 2
right.
because it was a different studio, Revolution compared to Universal.
Right.
So we couldn't lift it. So we said, okay, so I have to create an audio montage over Black of the beginning of the movie as a flashback to Hellboy 1. So we got the Germans yelling, like, they're attacking, they're attacking, German. And the American with the Tommy guns.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, boom, Hellboy 2. And it was a homage to Hellboy 1, all with actors. And it was interesting. You need good Walla Group people to be very realistic.
You do. And the fact is, like you were saying, it is like, I think when I was there, they were doing Million Dollar Baby.
Right.
And they had to pick certain people out to be someone that's on the, you know, somebody that's pounding the bag.
Right.
Two people that are across from,
and you need to know the language.
Absolutely.
Because if it's boxers, you need to have people that know
boxing.
Absolutely.
It's not like, well, hey!
If you're doing The Wire, and all of a sudden you're in Cincinnati, was it Cincinnati, wherever that is?
Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you need to be able to speak street.
Yeah.
And convincingly, that's a Walla.
Because you know what? I'm telling you, when you come from places, it doesn't matter. You know, Baltimore, New York, whatever, Queens, Brooklyn, you know, Italy, you're going to know.
Yeah. But you know, I know you, one last quick
story. Sorry. Now you know what he did to me.
Let's do a Walla Group now.
This is actually, you know, at some point, where does acting begin and where does acting end? And we were doing, as Rob knows, a movie years and years ago called Solar Crisis.
Cool.
But what we needed was people to be able to maneuver spacecraft into docking positions. So we tried actors, and everyone did their version of a traffic controller. And it wasn't right. So we went to LAX. We actually went up to the traffic controllers. We're listening to understand the gait of their voice.
And it's fast.
And it's just the way they speak. It's very monotone.
Absolutely.
And then we said, you know what? Let's cut to the chase. Who wants to be in a movie?
It's like Arlie Ermey.
Right, and it was great. Not only that, but they helped us rewrite the script.
Yeah.
Even though it was spacecraft, they'd go, well, I would say it this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, H-heavy, and just the terminologies, which had similarities to planes. And it was amazing. We had all these recordings of them, and it was, again, we're all trying to create illusion.
Right. Now, have any actors, though, that came close to...
They'd say it, no.
No,
I mean,
that's
everybody,
okay.
Everybody did a version of it, which you can hear them acting.
Yeah. See, the whole thing about, which I give frustrated to, is that acting, you shouldn't act. And I know it is. It's like you said, where does acting start and where does acting begin? To me, it should never be...
It should be a part of you that gets expanded.
That's
out.
True. One thing I will say about Walla Groups is I had the privilege of being a dialogue supervisor on a movie that Eric Lassell directed called, you know, Rebound, the Story of Earl Manigault. Anyhow, we got to work with Barbara Harris and her loop group, and we were doing – there's the Walla that you do where it's just – you know, background noise, general.
Right.
And then we did the call-outs, and that was pretty amazing, where you actually want to hear what they're saying because they're going to be background, but you have to be able to hear what they're saying. And just to see these guys, and they were actors, and just to see them work, literally there was a guy, it was like conducting a choir.
Sure.
They would all be there, and he would just be pointing. And it was the coolest thing.
Right. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great work.
Because
yeah.
it was
you
like,
can get it.
Because you're sitting there and they're doing all this, and I'll never forget this one moment where we're doing a take, right? And then cut. And this is the first time I got thrown into being the dialogue supervisor because there was nobody left.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm on the stage D over at Disney, right? I was in Doc's room.
Oh, Doc's
I was
great.
Working with Doc Chain, right? So we're doing this, working with the number one, you know, loop group at that time.
Right.
They were really popular.
Well, Barbara Harris is amazing.
She's great. No,
do the first take. They have all these actors. I'll never forget. They're doing the whole thing. Cut. And everybody looks at me. And I'm like, that was great. Let's try again. I didn't know what to say.
Just feed their ego.
You know what?
You gotta
when all else fails, I had a cardinal rule that just got born there. It's like when all else fails, just ask for another take.
Yeah.
Because if anything, it'll buy you time to figure out what
you're
doing. You know, a good Walla session needs to be paced. And because you're dealing with it, kind of
it's
reminds
like
me of musicians. Yes.
It is
where
a
you've got to get, because I've conducted a bunch of them and they think I'm pretty much crazy.
Right.
Because you get very energetic, especially if it's that style. And a lot of times you need to make quick decisions and you got to be able to read every actor if they're getting bored. If they're not, are they distracted?
Well, they better not get bored. They're getting paid.
Hey, I've seen everything. I've seen guys come up, they do a couple lines, they get their cell phone, and they go out.
See,
wow.
That's just wrong.
I mean,
it's so wrong.
Because you've seen everything. And some people, you can see honest on top of the game. Because at the end of the day, you got to come out with a product.
All right.
And
right.
It's not about being nice or not nice. You need to create something. It's the same thing with music. Someone's doing an overdub.
Right.
It's either working or it's not working. If not, you got to get somebody else.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, hey, as much fun as it was talking about Walla, I want to hear Heather talk some more.
Now you know why I came on the show.
but Walla, it's pretty amazing.
And it is great. It's wonderful work for actors if you can, get into a Walla group. It's great.
Now let's talk about voiceover itself. When you do a voiceover, what people don't understand is what we were talking about. A lot of people, how a read. Just the simple sentence can come across in a lot of different ways. So right now, Heather, let's give some examples of doing a read a different way. So let's think of Rob. Give us one sentence that Heather can read.
Can include logic.
No, we should just come up with a sentence like.
Can it be this summer? The adventure
this
begins.
Summer. And that's kind of a promo.
Rated PG-13.
That's a promo.
You're so good.
I throw it to you, Rob. Right now, here's
Rob,
your
it's in your. Okay. He's real smart. I'm gonna have to write this down.
So it could be something like. No, we'll just come up with a line like.
You're gonna pay me.
Right. The buck stops here, baby. Put
Heather
your cell phone down.
Heather soon regretted agreeing to come onto the podcast.
Oh my God! That's so not true. I can't say it.
Okay.
I can't say it. I can't remember it. What'd you just say?
You know what? The a lot of times, especially in commercials, we've been mixing lately a lot of movie commercials for coming to home video.
Okay.
And they'll send us the announcer usually the raw reads of the voiceover.
Stretch,
and
there'll
be 20 takes, and you listen to them to an untrained ear. You listen to them all in a row, and you say, "Well, they all sound the same." What's the difference? But with a really skilled voiceover talent, you can tell that they started with one emotion.
Right.
And as they went through different takes, they progressively moved to another emotion.
We're trying to do that.
Right,
just
give
us a sentence.
A sentence like, why do you say, hey, let's go for dinner?
Okay.
But
so
do it from a pixie to a creature.
Hold on, really quick.
Scott's on the
really pixie quick. To a creature.
What about a pixie creature?
But that's Rob. Is that? I'm through.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
Are you sure?
So, I didn't show up here with a
but you made a very good point.
Let's not announce it.
Let's just make it a little more intrigue. Like, let's make it more of a commercial thing. Like, coming soon to the dinner table near you.
Mike, you were talking about doing like a more of a sexy read, conversational.
So here's the first thing.
Okay,
like if somebody said that, right? The line that Rob said.
That could be taken a lot of different ways.
Just do a straight sell on it. Like if you were doing a consumer sell, how would you voice that?
Well, I just want to preface it with because so many people that do voiceover and receive direction, and Scott, you probably know this as well, and Mike, all of you guys probably do, is that they don't want announcery.
Right.
A lot of times you'll hear the product and it'll come out announcery.
Exactly.
So you want it to be as sincere and genuine as possible.
Right.
So in my mind and in my training, it's just like studying Strasberg or Stella Adler or anything, you're speaking to someone. It's like I'm sitting across from the very handsome Scott right now. So I'm going to say to you, whatever the script was, and then I'm going to say, coming soon to a dinner table near you.
See? Now that's...
Now we're talking.
That's a professional. That's a professional. Now, take that same read, all right?
Okay.
And let's go a little sexy.
Okay.
A little
I'm innuendo. I'm still going to be looking
Just
at Scott.
Just talking to me.
Because I'm literally... He's the person that I'm speaking to you. So I'm going to, in my mind, think it's maybe my husband or whatever you want to put to your imagination. Okay? So it's going to be... Coming soon to a dinner table near you.
Let's just say let's lighten up. Let's just say, you know, Heather, we like that read, but it's a little too sexy.
Okay,
let's,
too much.
Let's
right.
let's put a little smile in there.
Okay, so make it a warm.
No, you
warm,
know what's funny? It's funny because when I was doing commercials, I used to know all the different terms, and now they're just coming back to my mind. It's been 50 years, and now I have all these Italian words.
He's so passionate.
It's incredible.
So let's do the same.
Abundanza.
Let's do the same line, right. Less sexy, a little bit of a smile.
Okay. I'm staring at Scott. Coming soon to a dinner table near you.
There you go.
Had a smile.
There you go. Had a little smile.
So it was a little less. But I have to say, I swear by this, it really is all about the direction. I don't care how good of an actor you are. It really is. I don't care.
So, being that, and I'm directing.
You are.
Why don't we
doing
do
a good job.
The robot voice?
The robot voice. All right. Now, do you want sexy robot? Do you
want sexy robot like the read that we did?
Okay, I'm trying to remember.
Did you actually have her?
Yes,
sexy
we did. We did.
We did. Okay, sexy robot. More.
Okay. Wow. All right. God, are you ready?
Mascot, you're lucky
Brent.
Tonight.
I'm ready for sexy robots.
Mike, Rob, you ready?
I think so. I'm a little scared, too.
I tend to flail a little bit, so be careful. Coming soon to a dinner table near you.
That's sexy robot.
That was sexy robot.
Sexy robot.
So, who knew there was such a thing?
So,
you know, that's what's so great about voiceovers, because like you were saying, how a person looks, I can do these sexy characters and you don't have to look at me.
That is not a chore to look at you.
Thank you. Paid him.
I think one thing. Oh, do
yes.
You have another one?
I was just going to say, last thing is.
Yes.
Now go into a cartoon mode. Go into a cartoon mode and that and the exact same thing.
Okay.
You want a little more character.
Okay.
And it can be a mom cartoon or
you want
a kid cartoon.
Girl, boy.
Girl.
Okay. Coming soon to a dinner theater near you. I mean table.
You're so good.
See? I was gonna
say something, but this is probably because of my insane imagination. What if you would be imagined to be an animal, like a porcupine?
You and your porcupines. Am I a thirsty porcupine? Is she female? Is she grumpy? Does she smoke? Does she drink whiskey?
No,
what is her?
Just a very nice porcupine that had that huge prosciutto sandwich right before coming to the podcast.
And she just
a prosciutto filled porcupine. Go.
Is that what you mean? Does she have agita?
No. She's just drinking a lot during the podcast.
I don't know.
think about the things.
The
Barney.
Like, yeah. Well, if I had those, I'd probably be. Let's make her an old porcupine. Okay. Listen, I hate these damn things. What is me? Where's my drink, Diego? Coming soon to a dinner theater near you. Near you.
So, people should see this. This is spectacular. I'm telling you.
I love you guys. It's good for my ego. Let me tell you.
And I just wanted to... the reason why I you know...
Thank you, Mike.
No, thank you so much for agreeing to do that, because I wanted people to see, you know, when you do voiceover, just the range that a really good voiceover talent can bring. And you can tell that, you know, she's talking, Heather's talking, and then as soon as she goes into going to do a voiceover, it's a character. She becomes a character, and it's just really amazing.
I am mesmerized by this thing, I'm telling you.
Well, you know what else?
Diego, I'm coming every week. When's the next sushi? I'll bring the sushi.
Awesome.
One of the things you pointed out, too, is there's a lot of variety of directors, there's a lot of variety of projects and scripts and everything else. Part of being a great voiceover talent is sometimes knowing what the client thinks or what they actually want, as opposed to what they think they want or what they're telling you.
Right, and that's a tough one sometimes, because you want to, and a lot of times, like you were saying, I worked with this one gal who, oh my God, I just felt like I wasn't, you know, giving her what I want, but the whole line reading thing, which I'm not opposed to, because I want to make sure that somebody, I know a lot of actors are like, hey man, don't tell me about the dinner table.
Stories on that.
You'll say, tell him.
Oh, I was working with a, well, he's dead now, so I can talk, but.
No, don't say the name.
Whatever.
Diego. Everybody take a drink.
Woo! I was working with Peter Graves, and we were doing a biography, and I was the engineer, and the producer was behind me, and he was trying to get Peter to say a certain read, and so he made the mistake of doing a line read.
Oh,
for
my
him.
God.
And Peter says, you have your job, I have my job. I mean, it was...
Yeah, but
it
see, and that's sad because...
Know.
And I even Dame Judi Dench, I saw her on a Bravo special, and she was doing a little night music, and she said, I am truly only as good as my director. And I know there's some directors out there that probably shouldn't be directing, but it is, like Rob says, it's that kind of knowing and not getting that attitude of... Because if I'm not doing something right, I want to know what I'm doing wrong.
You're absolutely right. But in the other hand, though, I will, in defense of Peter, though, you get Peter Graves, you know what you're getting with Peter Graves. And don't make him.
Have you ever seen a grown man?
I'm just saying, you know his gait, you know what you're doing, and just be prepared.
But you know what I was thinking? When a voiceover tells you to shut up, something with the right voice. Yeah. You know, it's like you do your job and do mine, told with the voice.
I think it's great, though. When a director takes actors to a place they haven't been.
Absolutely.
And one of the things
absolutely.
Is,
absolutely.
One of the most amazing things I've ever saw, I did American Beauty. And the actors had a way to perform that movie.
I didn't read on that.
I saw the outtakes, especially for the opening.
Right, right.
And what was amazing was they did the first probably 20 takes. As a normal actor, but he wanted the gait and the delivery of the dialogue in such an odd rhythm, and working with pretty much all the actors, the only problem we had is when we brought them back for ADR, they couldn't perform it again.
To bring it back.
Because they were in this weird zone. It was the moment where when they kind of spoke, it was... It was kind of stone, but not. It was really odd, a little Shatner recording, but it was amazing to hear him work them. And I said, that alone, you should make a little video of that, the show. But he's a Broadway director.
But see, and that's the theater. I'm telling you, you know, and in like with we mentioned Chris Zimmerman, who
Chris
I adore. I got to tell you, I did. I was fortunate enough to do Metal Gear with her.
Yeah.
And Portable Ops, and every session I've done with her, I literally come out sweating. I mean, I am dripping in sweat because she's like, you know what? You don't sound real. You're not talking to somebody. I don't believe that you're about ready to land a ship and come out with your Tommy gun.
And you have
M16.
To yell at them. You have to figure out what the buttons of each actor are to get that performance.
Right.
Chris is very aggressive with the actors. She can be.
Well, I will say, you know, that was a really uncomfortable situation, though, being the engineer.
Oh, I can imagine. But you know,
but you know what? All in all, the product was good, and he did like 15 biographies.
Yeah. Did he? When he said that, how were you after that? I mean, what did you say when he said, "I'll do my job and your job"?
I wasn't directing him. The producer was directing him behind me.
Oh, okay.
I kept my mouth shut. Especially
outside was winter.
Yeah. He was going to turn into first take Peter.
Bye bye, Peter.
I'm not going to say anything. Yeah. Just speak in the microphone. Yeah. I'll hit record.
Peter petered out.
But you know, there's been some, you know. For some reason, the bigger they are, though, the nicer a lot of them are. I worked with some really nice people.
Who are some of the people that you've worked with?
Well, I worked with William Shatner.
Besides me. Was he really nice?
And I did a National Geographic. I did a voiceover recording for a National Geographic thing on horses. And we had to record at 5 a.m. because they were shooting that day.
Right.
And so the only grumpy person in that whole session was me. I mean, he came in, and everybody was saying, you know, William Shatner. And I was nervous because it's like William Shatner.
Well, yeah, I've heard a lot of recordings of him really getting on
directors. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think it's because maybe it was so early he didn't have a chance
to get an edge. You were able to sneak in there.
Yeah. And the other one, Bruno Kirby, I did a session with him, and he was fantastic.
Wow.
He was like, you know, here's this guy who's been in all these great movies, and he comes into this VO session, and he's like, he's so gracious, and
but
he's so thankful, and
he
was so like, thank you so much. And, and I was like, dude, I just want to, I don't know, I just want to touch you.
Right. But see, that's how I truly believe that whenever I, even if it's a job that's, it's $200, you have to, because there's so many people that want to do this, and especially nowadays, you have film stars that maybe aren't getting the films, or that, you know, they're going into TV, and there's so many of them are doing animation, or even, you know, Scott, a lot of them are doing interactive games. So you gotta be grateful. I don't care how big you are.
Some of them, the big ones, aren't so much.
Just give me their number, and I will take them.
You know, speaking of a really sweetheart, Angela Lansbury, I did a lot of VO recording with her.
She's a Broadway actress.
Yes. And the best story, this is probably my best VO story, is I started doing a lot of voiceover with her for a foundation, I think, that she had.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd come in every, you know, couple months. And my dad was having a birthday.
Aww.
And I said, hey, Angela, could you just record a birthday message to my dad? And so, sure enough, she recorded a birthday message, and I burned it to a CD. And so we were having a big party, and I go, hey, Dad, you know, somebody wants to wish you a happy birthday. And she goes, hello, Ben. This is Angela Lansbury.
That's fabulous.
You can't. It was so great.
Oh, by the way, that show was very, very popular in Italy.
Was it Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah,
it was called La Signora in Giallo. It was the lady in yellow.
Oh,
just
I love that.
Yeah. And by the way, you just... made me remind one day I was in a restaurant of a friend of mine that was a famous comic in Italy, and I had this famous comic called my best friend. My best friend was floored. I said, what?
See,
who was that?
You know, those are good people.
A million years ago, I had
stop.
Stevie Wonder recorded a happy bat mitzvah message from my sister. Now, you want to talk about a strange one. Someplace I'm sure I still have it.
Oh my gosh, I want to hear that.
That was funny.
I'm wishing you a happy bat mitzvah on this wonderful day. It was very funny.
Wow. So awesome.
I do want to make one little point.
Yes.
Which is just going to take us left field for just a second, but this conversation we've been having has been about voiceover and all the important things, to be able to take direction, to be able to understand the industry, to be able to give a director what they want, to be able to tell a story with your mouth even if someone can't see you. Every single thing we've talked about, from the business side to the creative side, applies to singers as well.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the reasons that the next generation of singers may not have the skills of the previous generation, because they don't realize what's coming out of your mouth. You need to be able to recreate like a radio show.
You need to own it.
Yeah. You need to own it. And there is really very little difference between voiceover and singing when it comes to all the stuff we're talking about today.
And it doesn't matter, even if you're great, even like I was talking about that Dame Judi Dench story, is that she, when she was doing A Little Nine Music, she goes, I can't sing, and she really is not that great of a singer.
Right. But she did great on Nine.
But you know what? She...
I was so proud
owned
of her.
It.
She was I was so proud she, of I was proud of all the women. I mean,
she owned it. She created this. Yeah, and I haven't seen Nine, so I didn't. But a little.
We did post on it.
Oh, did you? Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, no. Go, Wiley.
Okay. But no, seriously, that just, you really do. You have to create that character and own it and feel those words and mean it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on that note, we're gonna wrap it up. But aww, you know what, Heather, you're coming back.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes.
2 weeks.
Yes.
Let me tell you why. Because what we got to get into, and here we're gonna do a little teaser for the next time you come back.
Uh-oh.
But we got to talk about demos, because
awesome,
that's huge, you know. We're going to talk about...
Yes, it is.
Mic, and on the tech side, we're going to talk about microphones.
Brandon mentioned
that. And why, if you're going to do your demo, you don't want to talk into your laptop computer. So, Heather, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great, Heather.
You guys.
Right now, one thing I wanted to announce is that... you know, we lost Bill because he's moving away. But, you know, Diego is now an official panel member.
Diego. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Bell. bello, bello.
So, with that announcement, he gets a big round of applause.
Thank you! Thank you! I love you all, guys.
Bravo! Bravo!
And
Diego would also like to announce that he's moving to Austin now.
and so his bio is going to go up.
Wow.
He plays trees. He plays rocks. He plays
amazing.
I want to take a bow and see if we can play him.
Maybe I'm an extra.
I knew something like this was coming. Scott, I was just waiting for it.
We are going to play you.
So, Diego, welcome
Diego
to the panel.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
So, you know, all that means is, no, he's not going to be the next one. So,
yeah. Gig.
Join all the other guys.
Once he's up on the website. Once he's up on the website.
So
that's right.
But, all right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Rob, are you working on anything fun and exciting you can talk about?
Working on a few things I can talk about. One is this blues album that we've been working on and off for over a year is about to get finished. We're down to the last few mixes, which will be a very cool thing. And it's actually tied in with a singer who is going to be opening a Broadway musical this fall. So there's a lot going on with her, so we'll be talking about that. Maybe even by the next podcast, it'll all be done.
Great.
We'll be talking
about
it, which is pretty cool. We just completed the ad campaign for, what movie was it? Oh, The Bounty Hunter.
Coming
to
home
video, which was a ton of commercials and trailers and all kinds of stuff. I'm working on 3 web design projects at the moment, which is definitely keeping me busy.
Possibly 4.
Possibly 4, yeah. They keep adding up. The City Love site that I've talked about before, www.citylovemusic.com.
Oh, I like that.
Wait.
I know.
Yes,
what's that?
Citylovemusic.com.
CityLoveMusic.com.
CityLove.
www.citylovemusic.com.
Now a little sexier.
And now the sexy robot. The sexy French robot.
That's right.
No, but we're up to, I think, 190 songs submitted for the contest. So
that
was pretty
nice.
Cool. And it hasn't crashed yet, so.
That's a good thing.
That's great.
That's going well. And also, yeah, there's a few albums that I can't talk about at the moment, but I will say that the industry, on, you know, just speaking kind of globally and without too many specifics, it feels like the industry is coming back a little bit.
Yeah.
The attitude isn't quite as dark as it has been.
Right.
And as a freelance, you know, I've never worked for a big company, and I've always been out there self-unemployed.
Good for you. Give it up.
But being self-unemployed, you take the good with the bad. You get a bigger piece of the profits when things are good, and you are a lot hungrier when things are bad. But it seems like the attitude is improving a little bit out there. The budgets are improving, which is more important than the attitude, actually. And things are bouncing back a little bit. I mean, they're definitely nowhere near where they were. But they're coming back slowly, and the attitude seems better. So that's encouraging.
We'll survive.
That's at least for the L.A. market. I don't know what's going on the rest of the world. But we've made it through what I think is the worst part.
Heather, are you working on anything you want to plug? Well, first of all, you know what? I want to encourage everybody to go to Heather's website.
Yes.
It's a great website. You'll see what she's
Thank
done
you,
some
Diego.
Great stuff. She's been involved with some phenomenal projects, not necessarily the news. I mean, all some
that
really.
That was fun.
That was
my first speaking role on TV.
That was
it really?
That was, wow. I was such a huge fan of that, but I'm not going to fan out right now, okay? So I'm not going to. I've been totally like.
you know what's important? If anybody listening right now would like to become a voiceover talent, they should check out Anna's website.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, and you can more than welcome to click on there to contact me, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Yeah, I know. It's a great website, and the thing I really like about it is you can see the scope of your work and your you know, your video games, paramedics.
Thank you. Manuel Palacios.
Yeah.
Wonderful web designer.
And you can see her commercial work, and you can hear, I mean, there's just a lot. And I think, like Diego said, if you're interested in voiceover at all, it's a great place to go just to see, what your options are and listen to the needs and listen to, now that you've heard Heather speak and you've heard a little bit about her personality, just now you can use that to see where she goes when she does her acting on
there's online. A lot more to it than just having your friends tell you you have
a
nice voice.
You know what? You're right. Because like I said, each one of you could go out and do this And I mean that sincerely. And having a room full of handsome men doesn't hurt.
She's coming back.
She's definitely coming back.
And this visual impairment that she suffers with, we need to really have a telethon about that, too.
I will say, if you're in the Texas area, you'll be able to hear Heather.
Yeah!
Because
we
just
worked on it together.
Some radio spots for Cons Electronics.
That's right.
So you'll be able to hear her because they're playing a ton of them. So
you did a good job. Yeah, direct well. That'll be fun.
Anything?
Yes.
Anything else you have, Clark? Are you doing any acting? Any films?
You know, I finished an independent movie called The People I've Slept With. Mm-hmm. I was not one of those. Once again.
It was half a second of silence. Okay.
by Quentin Lee, who's a wonderful director. And I played the kind of quirky, homely waitress, which is, you know, wow. Those are the roles that I honestly love to play because I've never been chosen for the real pretty roles. And, you know, if I'm picking my nose and picking out of the garbage or something, I'm happy. You know, seriously, I'd rather be a Ruth Gordon, you know.
Yeah.
Those are my, absolutely.
You know, work for 60 years.
I hope so. So that, and I've got some Barbie stuff coming up, and I just did a fun promo for the new animated. It's kind of an animated series. I think it's going to be on Swim. Is it Adult Swim?
Adult Swim.
Archer.
Yeah.
And it's got a bunch
Archer.
Of SNL. Yes, I'm playing a British woman just, announcing Archer.
That's. Wait, can you say it again?
Archer. Yes. So
that's
great. Well, what about you guys, Brandon? What's going on with you?
Well, thank you for transitioning.
You guys, there's so much that you guys have going on.
No, but everything sounded so great.
I know.
Plus, our stuff's all made up.
You know, they told me that.
Well, right now we got a couple new movies in a little cop drama or sort of heist drama with called The Town.
Cool.
With Ben Affleck we're working on, which is kind of cool. And a teens with superpowers movie called I Am Number 4.
Oh,
we're
going to
teaser for that. So, yeah. Kind of fun.
Great. Well, and you played music. I came in here and Mike was kind enough to meet me at the door and I was like, who's playing that beautiful music?
I was being
and you're
a
like,
hack on the piano.
No. It's
you
nice
are too
hacking.
Kind.
No, I'm being serious. It was really, I thought it was
the
radio.
Love in this room.
We're
going
to repaint this room in
you
pink.
Guys.
I'm telling you,
you
guys.
Like
I'm telling
I'm
you. I love it.
I want bubbles. I want plenty of bubbles.
Scott.
Scotty.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, think of Bobby.
Can you imagine Bobby and Heather?
No, we have. And drinking milk coming out of your nose. I've been living at Universal for the last 5 weeks.
Wow.
I've got two more weeks. We are racing to get Charlie St. Cloud out. It's Zac Efron. It comes out July 30th.
Yes.
It's all over the place. So,
Mike.
You know what's wrong? We just... what was it today? I think we had Zach in today, and we're finally mixing, finally in the music, finally in the dialogue,
finally.
So no, it's all coming together. We've made our first pass, and now Producer Studios will play for them. But we finish in 2 weeks.
That's great.
So by the end of next week, we will be done with our part of it. Then it goes into developing. And it gets raced to, I don't know, 3,000-4,000 theaters.
Wow. And you had the time to come here tonight.
Yeah.
We keep our fingers crossed when Scott's in a mix because it's like, could go either way.
Yeah. 6 o'clock, it could be 10 o'clock.
And then right after that, I've got a handful of really cool video games that I jump back onto.
Nice.
Did I read for that? I'm sorry. It's the actor.
One of
don't you hate that?
You always wonder what you could talk about, but one of our games won a big award at E3.
Nice.
Actually, a couple of them did, but one of them, which...
Congratulations.
Is just, oh, thank you. Is something which I'm quite excited about, is something called Epic Mickey.
Oh, wow. What is it? Oh, you can't.
No.
It's kind of... taking the old Disney characters and putting a very odd spin on them. It's a little dark.
Kind of like Avenue Q.
It's almost like Mickey goes dark.
Nickel becomes evil to get his heart back. I mean, it's a very interesting...
It is interesting.
And the thing is, the animation, Hans Zimmer's group's doing the music.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, the stuff I'm getting...
Is it like Kingdom Hearts to the next level? Have you played...
I haven't played Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, it's the Disney characters with an anime character, basically. Like
Final Fantasy. With an edge.
It's what's interesting is we're doing everything through Disney character voices.
Okay.
So, you know, we need Mickey to do this, and this guy comes in, you know, like... You know, like just
do they have
really mellow. Like,
do they have Goofy?
You know, we're doing a series of cinematics and in-game stuff.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I know that they sent me this big poster or a picture of E3 with them winning. Like,
that's great, though. That is awesome.
So there's a lot of good stuff. We Crackdown just came out.
Great.
So Crackdown 2 just came out. So we're excited about that. Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Is doing huge.
That's a great game. Great game.
Yeah, so that's been doing well, and I'm trying to think what I can't say. It's pretty much anything else.
All right.
Bless your heart.
Diego, what about you?
Well, today I had a meeting for a video game, which I can't say. No, but this is not the one that I couldn't say anything. This is a new one that I can't say anything about.
A video game, you just can't talk
right.
about.
Right, no, exactly. No. But it's a good thing. But anyway, and besides that,
they
I'm
have
working.
To kill you.
I'm working on new tracks with my custom instrument. And the cool thing is that now that I start to have a discrete number of them,
right.
I'm just switching between all these different instruments. And what's coming out, it's insane.
That's great.
You're so talented. Well, everybody's got to go and see the bonsai tree.
Yeah, and I want to plug Diego. Diego was on the front page of Wired's website.
Awesome. Yeah, I got featured on Wired. I didn't know that it was going to go on Wired.
And also got on YouTube also.
Yes, today.
Front page of YouTube. Yeah. So nice. Diego is...
Hey, can I say something about it?
Yes.
No, because I have all these people posting comments like, you're mistreating the bonsai. People actually threatening me. People saying we should do music with your bones and stuff like that.
The tree huggers.
I keep writing on the comments. I keep saying, guys, okay, first of all, I love nature. Second, I'm using mics so close to the plant that whatever I do, it's going to sound gigantic.
Right.
And then I work in trailers. That's the kind of stuff that I do. I mean, that's how I transform sounds into bigger than life.
I got a problem. You're burning pianos.
Okay. Give me a break. Please, be my friend here.
These people need to get a hobby.
So I just want to say I'm not hurting the bonsai. I'm not hurting it. They're still growing. They're doing great. So,
and you know what?
Guys, it's important.
It's just a bonsai.
He's showing respect.
Respect it, but
keep it in perspective.
And keep it in perspective. I mean, think about it. Trees, when there's a storm,
Next album? Produce.
Can I say one more thing?
You can say anything you want.
I just wanted to I was very fortunate to last weekend sing in a choir for the troops, and I'm just saying this because it's with Lee Greenwood, which was an amazing experience that Gary Sinise put together, who's a troop patriot. And the guy, Gary's actually right now in South Korea, and then he's going to Okinawa.
Wow.
And I just wanted to thank all of our service people, men and women, who have served and are currently serving. And God bless you.
Absolutely.
So,
and you know what? I believe we are heard by some of our troops. I got a region breakdown.
That's so awesome. I just got the chills.
There's audio nerds everywhere.
Can
you get some combat sounds?
If there's any troops out there and you guys want to record any sounds for us, my address, please.
And actually, I have a very good friend named Derek Tennant, who's a comic, who I was telling you about earlier, Diego. He's paralyzed on his left side and works with his sister who's Down syndrome, and he makes these t-shirts called Onug, and it's One Nation Under God, baby.
Nice.
It's a nice logo.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Mike.
Everybody ease off on Diego, all right?
He's not doing anything wrong to those bonsais.
We're going to step outside. There's going to be a row of angry bonsai trees. Like,
oh, my God.
He's not doing
There was a guy that actually was very, very
What exactly did he say to you?
Well, I said more like we should hunt down this idiot and make music with his skeleton.
Wow.
I was like,
so you know how you answer that? That's in version two.
No, I was going to say, you are telling me not to be violent, but you are, like, threatening me. What are you talking about? Crazy.
I got his number. Don't worry.
So, Mike, what are you doing?
Let's see. I'm finishing a ton of radio spots and just the normal TV promos, but I am in pre-production to direct another video for a band that I've been working on.
Oh, sweet.
So that one's gone through. And when I get back, I'm starting a documentary from a friend of mine that I actually can't say anything about. but
I'm jealous.
And then the last thing is... And I'm going to hold my head in shame right now, but I'm working on a spec
project. I knew you were going to say it.
I knew it. That's why it was so mellow before. That's why.
That's that person who's saying, like, how do you make sure that you're paid?
Mike.
That's
right.
Mike. Listen, but the reason why I said it is you got to – everybody is kind of – I've got a group of friends, and we're all friends, and we're kind of getting together, and we're just doing one little thing just to see amongst ourselves. And it's actually – it's kind of fun.
I want to hear the conclusion of that.
You absolutely will. But and it's you know, like I said, it's an evening. It'll be fun.
Good. And, well, and you have to – if you can get together, and I think that's how a lot of people get – cartoons made, get together and
what
creatively.
We're doing is, it's pretty unique.
Mind try.
And you know what? If it works out, it can work out really, really well. And if it, you know what? The difference is, I will say, it's my spec, though. It's
which makes a big difference.
Right. If anything, it's not even spec. It's more like work equity. We're all just coming to the – there's not
so we don't get paid, we come to you?
Well, you know, you've been paid for every single podcast.
Oh, wait.
That's when you don't – I'll pay you double when I'm paying you.
Okay, so now he's getting paid? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Did I read on that?
No, but we can talk.
Okay.
But you know, I guess it's more of a passion project than a spec project because, you know, we're all coming to it at the same level. So anyhow. Well, hey, listen, gang, this has been one long podcast.
Yes, it has.
It's been wonderful.
It is 3 a.m.
We do have to send a shout out to Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby's still going to be –
let's face it, he'll be back when it's on his posts.
Really, you think?
Yes.
he's having way more fun than a person should be allowed to have.
About a 2-week lag time.
We bring one of those horns back so we can –
Where is he?
He's in South Africa.
Gang, I got to tell you the story before we leave.
Going to the games.
Vuvuzela story. True story. Looking for a sound effect for this spot that we just did, couldn't find anything. The vuvuzela was the perfect sound effect that we used.
It was
No, it wasn't a long drone. It was just a short burst. That
there's an iPhone app for it now.
No, they did that app.
There's an iPhone app that's a vuvuzela.
No,
yes, for real.
Well, gang, we can continue this conversation afterwards. But I wanted two things. I got two quick announcements. First announcement.
More announcements.
Yes, we are shutting down our MySpace page because, come on, it's MySpace.
Don't wish that all.
So we'll actually have the MySpace page.
It's MySpace now.
But I've already talked to Vanessa. I talked to Vanessa and she's, you know, we're no longer going to update it. And basically we're just... You know, we can't really get rid of it.
Sorry,
we're
Vanessa.
Just it up there.
Who's Vanessa? But,
no,
well,
she's
still like Vanessa. We still love Vanessa.
Yeah. Yes. Vanessa is awesome, but she's...
MySpace, not so much.
So if you want to send us an email, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at audio@nowcastnetwork.com, audio@nowcastnetwork.com. Or if you want your email read faster than 2 weeks, then you can reach us on our Facebook page. And we're going to start to get really more interactive with that.
And now we have access to all their friends.
Yes.
I wish.
But, tell your friends that.
But if you want, we're going to start getting more interactive on our Facebook. So if you want to post ideas for the show that, you know, if you have questions, things like that, if you want to, you know, you can do anything you want and you can post on one. Just don't rant on.
Like I do.
It's going to be a Diego friendly place.
Yes, if it isn't, you will have to deal with me.
Thank you.
And let's also give Heather's website with the spelling.
Yes,
with the spelling.
Why don't you give us your website URL?
It's the audio version for those people that can't see.
It is H-E. No,
I'll put a link to it on our website.
Go ahead. And I'm going to actually do the same with you guys. I would love to put you on my
absolutely
on my friends page. It's heatherhalley.com. And that's heatherhalley.com. And Diego loves bonsais, so...
I think we should have t-shirts. Jago loves bonsais.
Heather, can you just read to us when we're done?
You guys.
I
love you guys.
Well, hey,
I love you.
Heather, once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's my honor.
And Jago, thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
And for myself and everybody here, thank you for listening to this whole podcast. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Audio Nowcast, sponsored by Aphex and Westwave Audio. The Audio Nowcast is hosted by Mike Rodriguez with Rob Arbatier, Scott Gershon, Martin Page, Andrew Sheps, and Bobby Summerfield. The program is produced by April Mastropaulo and uses Aphex's 230 Master Channel Voice Processor. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.